Millions of Americans are using prescribed medicines daily and putting up with the risk of side effects. If you feel trapped on lifelong drugs and want off of them, there is a way. Pharmaceutical products create a weakness and dependency. Eventually, weakness leads to failure. The solution is sources that are strengtheners, which lead to restoration. Contact Apothecary Herbs for their free product catalog and discover what professional strength herbal formulas can do for your heart, kidneys, pancreas, digestion, prostate, brain, and more. Call now 866-229-3663 or visit online thepowerherbs.com. Call now to order and empower yourself. 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. Because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs.
Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com. Don't make the aspirin mistake. Aspirin was discovered by mistake during World War II and suppresses your immune system and prevents blood clotting. Don't expose your body to risk when you can use a natural inflammation and pain reliever called Extra Strength Pain Relief by Apothecary Herbs. Discover the power this formula has with salicin to enter the system in 60 seconds to work hard and relieve pain for 12 hours. Whether it's arthritis, sports injury, or flu, you can relieve aches, pain, and swelling with our Extra Strength Pain Relief formula. Call Apothecary Herbs now, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Welcome to Herb Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day. Here on Herb Talk, we're here to empower you because that's what we like to do every day. That's what we like to do. So I hope we're doing a good job. Thanks for joining us on the American Voice Radio Network. Magical Engineer Frank and I have got a great show. We're going to be talking about when science is a corporate crime. Oh, yeah. We're going to talk about that. Also, we're going to touch on some plagues things and some other. We got a stack of stuff here. I hope to move through a bunch of it. We'll see how the hour goes. And we do have a quack report. But before we get to that great stuff, big salute and Semper Fi to our righteous men and women in uniform, lifting this nation up in prayer, you and me and everybody. And I'm seeking the Lord's face, hitting the knees. I hope you are, too. And I did bring the devotionals today. And it goes like this. Psalms 116 and Ephesians 5, Isaiah 30. And it goes like this. Grow strong in the light of my presence. Your weakness does not repel me. On the contrary, it attracts me. My power, which is always available to flow into your heart, don't condemn yourself for your constant need for help. Instead, come to me when you need. Cleave to me. Let my love and my light fill you. A yielded heart does not whine or rebel when the going gets tough. It musters the courage to thank me even during the hard times. Yielding yourself to my will is ultimately an act of trust. And in quietness and trust, you find strength. Amen to that. I'll take it. Mind the time. It grows short because that is the way. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. All right. Thanks, Frank. Okay, first up in the quack. The quacker's a little brief today, but we got a lot of stuff to cover. So this is, I'll work with it. Monsanto is halting the launch of a new chemical because people are complaining of rashes when they use the product. Monsanto froze plans for the use of their commercial sales of a product called Nema Strike, which is supposed to protect corn, soybeans, and cotton from worms that tend to reduce the crop yields. So they said that, you know, they've been conducting trials of it for 3 years in test fields within the U.S., and so far so good, but 400 people who used it, part of the trial, complained of developing skin rashes. All right, last but not least in the quack report, Madagascar is under siege. We got to pray for Madagascar. Now, this is just off the coast of Africa, if you don't know where that is. It's a state of emergency right there because they have a plague. They have a very unique plague. Get this. 15,000 teachers are being retrained so they can spot and isolate any children that have signs of the plague. So this plague has killed 123, and hundreds are infected. It's called a super strain plague. And it's, they say, more infectious and deadly than bubonic plague. And so what the health authorities are saying is they're calling this the Madagascar plague. And within this plague are three separate plagues. Are you ready? There's the bubonic plague, the pneumonia plague, and a rare strain of septicemia, which is a blood infection type of plague. So, of course, most of the people, from the reports I was reading, most of the people have the pneumonia one coming through. So since August 1st through October 27th, they've had 113 people die, but about 1,500 cases have been reported in Madagascar. So, yeah, interesting combo, don't you think? And that wraps the quack report. Thanks, Frank. Hey, Frank, what do you think of that combination plague? That's like unheard of. That's like new. That's like, I don't know. It seems man-made to me, right? I think so. I hope not. But, you know, I pray for everybody there. All right, we're going to talk about when science is a corporate crime. We're going to be talking about, because money can sure buy a lot of favors, can't it? It can buy protection from public outcry, and it can pay for protection from the law itself. Unfortunately, those that are taking money favors, you know, I call subsidies and really bribes, seldom consider their repercussions of their actions down the road. So when it comes to specific actions like such as healthcare, you know, money influences outcomes for decades, if not centuries. So the majority of people are typically ignorant of the inner workings of the scientific medicine community. So I was one of those ignorant ones about 30 years ago. However, a series of events kind of brought me into this shocking conclusion of this massive interwoven web of deception that has eroded modern medicine. So what is unsettling to me is that there are professionals within the halls of medicine, within the halls of science, within the halls of justice that know this deception exists and allows it not only to continue but to grow. So evidence that is exposing this science-based medical system really isn't what it claims to be is coming out. So we're going to clarify some things. That the majority of this deception, though, by medical science involves drug therapy sides of the issue. They use that to control symptoms and manage disease. Now, some medical devices are also in the mix. So we're going to take a look at this. Check it out. Try to avoid any further harm if we can for, you know, yourself, your well-being, your friends and family. Because a lot of what you see is a mirage. Now, mind you, I didn't know this 30 years ago. I thought medicine, scientific medicine was the bomb. All those really newfangled, you know, piece of equipment, scientific medicine, the studies, you know, doctors are so smart. That's what I thought. So a mirage really is an optical illusion, a fantasy, and in some cases, a deliberate deception. So what investigators have discovered is that scientific medicine has, for decades, been a well-planned deception that has received assistance from government and from the courts. Now, an illustration of this deception occurred in 1976 with that well-publicized and fake swine flu pandemic. So the whole plan to sell the swine flu vaccine to the American public was well underway when Dr. Anthony Morris, former FDA chief virologist, on live TV warned the public that this is a hoax, and I'm sure he saved many lives. Now, he informed the public that there was no swine flu pandemic. It was created to help the pharmaceutical company sell a product that was rejected by the pig farmers. Yeah, so if you created it for pig farmers so their pigs don't get the flu and they don't want it, the only other market was human. And that was a quote from the office memos within the pharmaceutical industry. Here is a quote from Huffington Post, dated November 2011. It says, "Quackery is defined as the use of unproven treatments claiming fantastic results and charge large sums of money. Modern physicians point their finger at various alternative or natural treatments as examples of quackery. However, it is conventional medicine treatments today that are expensive and offer questionable efficacy with side effects, giving patients the guise of science." End of quote. I tend to agree with the Huffington Post there. Well, let's look at this financial snapshot. This might frost your shorts a little bit. The pharmaceutical market, totaling about 20 corporations, makes up about 4% of the Fortune 500 companies globally. Yet 4% of these mega corporations made $95.1 billion in 2013. Now, the top 12 pharmaceuticals made about $17.5 billion in profits. So the pharmaceutical network entails not just the manufacturing operations, but also the drug wholesalers and the chain of pharmacies that you see worldwide. So the top drug stores by sale volume in drugs are your CVS Pharmacy, Walgreens, and Rite Aid. Now, the pharmaceutical manufacturers are four times more profitable than the drugstore chains. So the top money-making drug makers are Johnson & Johnson, Pfizer, Merck, Eli Lilly, Abbott and Bristol Myers Squibb. So it is therefore really not hard to see that what the big drug companies want, they're going to get. Even with enough money, that's what they do. And by the way, second place for spending money on lobbyists is the health insurance industry. Okay, so because the drug companies spend a lot of money on lobbyists, and we're going to see how much they spend in just a little bit. So you've got this unholy three entities. So what the human race is really having to deal with is this united front of the pharmaceutical industry, the American Medical Association, and now socialized health insurance. So this fact makes the U.S. the most corrupted, expensive, and detrimental healthcare system in existence. So this alliance positions people to become patients for life through managed care that really doesn't prevent or cure disease. Even worse, the recent revelations that scientific research has for decades been fraudulent, putting people at grave risk with medical treatments. So also quite disturbing is the advancement of the gene editing and the virology creating new human pathogens from animal diseases, you know, putting the whole planet at risk. So if you missed the radio show that I did on why Americans are not living healthier past the age of 50, well, it's because basically of massive drug therapy. That's this culture of drug therapy and, of course, poor diets and a few other things. So if you missed the show, you can go back to the archives and check it out. All right, so we got these cash cows within the healthcare industry. Hey, Frank, if you're not too busy, what do you think the three big cash cows are in healthcare? Yeah, you know, there are these strategies in place that protect the massive business model called modern medicine. There are highly guarded secrets in the halls of medicine. And Frank weighs in, and he says, vaccines, tests, and painkillers. Ooh, very close, very close. Yes, Frank. You know, we got some guarded secrets in within medicine, and one of the most controversials is the concept that vaccines create immunity and protect you from disease. And there have been several respected health professionals who have shone a light on this very dark and sinister area of healthcare. So the other areas that are protected, and by that I mean will not be dismantled, and a reputable and definitive cure is not going to be allowed. Those areas are cancer, where we lost 600,000 Americans last year from cancer, diabetes, where we lost 80,000 Americans last year, and heart disease, where we lost 610 Americans last year. So typically those are the numbers. I mean, you know, now over half a million to a million people a year being treated for those diseases in each category, you do the math on why they're never going to have a cure for that. That's a big cash cow. So you were right, Frank, vaccines. Obviously, we're going to get to drugs. You're talking about the painkillers. We'll get to that in a minute. Now, the drug companies make a lot of money not curing people. And we have not even, you know, touched the side effects that are created, which is another revenue stream for more drugs to be prescribed and sold. And, of course, we didn't even touch on the addictions, like the painkillers Frank mentioned, and other types of you know, like the antidepressants, you know, that create suicide. So just as they knew in the 1940s that antibiotics would create bacterial mutation and superbugs before the drugs went to market, they know the destruction they're creating, okay? I'm talking about the pharmaceuticals, the people that are pulling the strings and making all this problem for us. So good luck with the people of India. I don't know if you've heard, but their Supreme Court is attempting to charge Bill Gates with criminal harm because of the vaccines they pushed onto their women and children there. All it's going to take to avoid justice over there is a suitcase full of cash. You watch. All right, here's a quote from Marcia Angell. She's a medical doctor at Harvard School of Medicine. She says this: physicians rarely run drug companies. Instead, businessmen run them. And over the past two decades, pharmaceutical industry has moved away from useful drugs. Now it is primarily a marketing machine selling drugs of dubious benefit from an industry using its wealth and power to co-opt every institution that might stand in its way, including U.S. Congress, the FDA, and the academic medical schools. So there you go. That's from a person inside there. Yep, and medical doctor. And, you know, I come across this all the time. People say, can't you just talk to my aunt? Can't you just talk to my grandma? Please, please, she needs to see. Well, a lot of people say, my doctor wouldn't do that. You know anybody like that, Frank? You know, relations, associations, they don't see their doctors, you know, doing anything wrong with the drug pushing. Oh, he goes, I avoid people like that. Okay. Well, you know, a majority of Americans, I'd say 99% of them, believe the concept that scientific medicine is a miracle and their doctor would not intentionally hurt them. Well, it is a lovely concept to think that, you know, medical students are, you know, taught the virtues of benevolence, compassion, integrity, respectfulness, honesty, and justice to be valued above, you know, monetary influences, power, and self. Well, you know, all those moral traits, by the way, should have been taught before they even entered medical school. But that's what medical school says they attempt to teach these doctors. Right on. All right, well, the reality is a majority of the medical doctors are taught, well, they're brainwashed and they're bribed. That's basically what happens there. They have simply been reading from medical textbooks and medical journals that are controlled by the drug companies. So one problem is they don't question, the doctors don't question the research. So one expert in the field of vaccine development for 35 years, he didn't know what thimerosal in vaccines was. He didn't know it was mercury. He didn't know it was a heavy metal. Right? And, you know, if you were in science class in high school when they actually use thermometers, you know, in experiments, and if you dropped one and the mercury, you know, went all over the floor in little balls, and they didn't want you to touch it. Don't touch it. It's mercury. Don't touch it. But they inject it right into your bloodstream in a vaccine. Right? Okay. All right. Well, here's the thing. Drug companies subsidize the medical schools, and they get to pick the curriculum and structure the medical dogma that the medical students are exposed to. So with enough money, that's how you make physicians into drug pushers. That's how you do it. Here is a quote from the University of California, Irvine School of Medicine. They say, doctors are heavily exposed to pharmaceutical companies early on, and the contact continues, affecting a physician's ability to detect industry bias and analyze drug company marketing statements on drugs objectively. Oh, goodness. They go on to say, pharmaceutical industry influence can harm the social and moral character of medical students. Uh-huh. Well, you know, they all have these policies that this shouldn't happen, that shouldn't happen on campus, but they don't uphold anything. All right, so before leaving campus, the American public, you know, has to get a clue. You have no clue out there, America, that the pressure that the medical students are exposed to when they're in medical school and when they get out. Just think that you've just, let's say you just completed nearly 4 years of medical school and you hope to get a really good residency program at a prestigious hospital. But before you leave campus, you're hounded by the big pharmaceutical scouts with, you know, fine dining and gifts and the suggestion that, hey, there's more where this came from if you just play ball. So it is a standard method of recruitment, making sure that the new legion of physicians is going to be loyal to the pharmaceutical establishment. So very early in their medical careers, before they even officially treat a patient, they are seduced to take, you know, payoffs, thinking that's not going to hurt anybody. You know, I deserve it. I worked hard. So this is all the reason. This is also the reason why doctors aren't going to turn each other in. There's that good old boy network going on there. See, it is a cozy little collective held together by a greedy alliance. That's basically what you have. I'm just calling it like I see it. Now, and that's how basically you control the global healthcare system and you control the science. And this is how science becomes a crime of epic proportions. Okay? So now, who is the snake oil salesman now? Right on. Well, let's hear from the University of California School of Medicine in Irvine once again. They say, the pharmaceutical industry spends at least $5 billion annually on marketing, which is more than $8,000 per physician. This marketing effort directly affects physicians, enticing them to prescribe the latest drugs. Although not obvious, the relationship between drug companies and physicians begins long before doctors have the power to prescribe treatments. Oh, yeah. They go on to say, resident physicians report an average of 6 pharmaceutical gifts a year, 70 industry-sponsored lunches, 75 promotional items per year, and hospital-sponsored classes taught by drug company representatives. Physicians meet with drug reps 4 times a month. That's a lot of contact. I mean, you know. Hey, you're not going to be influenced by that. And all of this, hello, would not be possible without cooperation from the people on the legal side of things. So this this medical system that we have wouldn't be possible without the cooperation of the watchdog, the FDA. So the very entity that is supposed to prevent harm is not really doing their job. In fact, the pharmaceutical giants help finance attacks by the FDA on the treatments that compete with theirs. So these same corporations have succeeded in Europe in a steady erosion of the natural therapies by their health authorities and legislators. Yeah, that's where that goes. Get rid of the competition. All right, I want to mention one case, the Pfizer case. In 2003, there was this lawsuit filed against Pfizer Pharmaceutical for willfully promoting their drugs to physicians for the off-market use. If you don't know what off-market use, it means the drug wasn't approved for that use by the FDA. So this means the drug maker was asking doctors to use their drugs to treat people for conditions the drug was not approved for. So Pfizer lost the case, had to pay $2.3 billion in civil and criminal damages. That's a drop in the bucket because the company made $54 billion in earnings that year. No problem. So this case would not have existed, wouldn't have won, because if it wasn't for the insider whistleblower, John Kopencheski, he had evidence, and sadly, but this was the exception, though. You know, this is the exception. Most of these cases don't go anywhere. Huffington Post goes on to say, in 2007, there was a study of over 350,000 children, and they found that 78.7% of them that were in hospitals were prescribed off-label use of drugs the FDA had not approved for use in children. Almost 80% of your kids would be treated with drugs not approved for use in kids. Goodness. Did you know that? You just march your kid into the hospital and you think everything's going to be hunky-dory and safe. Look at that. Just look at that. All right, so there's damage control being done because there's this overwhelming evidence now that we have some serious problems in a healthcare system. The evidence that's really leaked out over the last 50 years is really just the tip of the iceberg, folks. If you haven't worked in medicine, you have no idea. So some of the healthcare industries, they're suggesting, hey, we need some key reform here on how the system should be run. There are already medical schools that have policy that prohibits drug industry influence with their physicians, their students, but they don't uphold this policy. They look the other way. So I don't think, you know, rewriting your policy is going to do a thing. So the power of money is a strong foe. And it's not the job of medical schools to teach moral behavior to the students, okay? But it is their job to, you know, find out who's on campus and who's, you know, influencing their students or not in the wrong way. Here is a quote from the American College of Physicians. Do I have time, Frank, or we got to take a break? We got time. I can do it on the other side. I'm going to do it on the other side. Yeah, we got some really juicy quotes yet to give you from Yep, the folks in the AMA, American College of Physicians. So don't go anywhere. Be right back.
Look over yonder. What do you see? The sun is rising. Most definitely, a new day is coming. Ooh, ooh. People are changing. Ain't it beautiful? Ooh, ooh. Crystal blue persuasion.
Pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
Everyone is afraid of pain. No one wants pain to rule over their life. And you don't want the negative side effects of aspirin, ibuprofen, or prescription drugs. They can lower immunity and cause dependency. Is there a safe alternative? I'm herbalist Wendy Wilson, and I prefer willow bark and meadow sweet herbs to control pain, fever, aches, and inflammation. God's herbs are good, and you won't be disappointed. Call Apothecary Herbs for pain or extra strength pain relief formula, toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International 704-875-8010 or online thepowerherbs.com.
Thomas Edison invented the light bulb, Henry Ford the automobile, and herbalist Wendy Wilson? Well, discover for yourself. Listen to Herb Talk live.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Our prescription for good health? Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson. No insurance card required.
The ancient Greeks thought thyme herb provided strength. Indeed, the chemical compounds of thyme contain antioxidants, an effective germicide that kills whooping cough bacteria and makes breathing easier. Just imagine what you can do with thyme herb when it comes to respiratory ailments like croup, pneumonia, asthma, and sinusitis. The extra benefit of thyme herb is that it soothes the nerves and stops spasmodic coughing, so you can get some rest. Who says you don't have time to take care of yourself? Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free for thyme tincture and tea to soothe your cough and get some rest. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International 704-875-8010 or online at thepowerherbs.com.
Here on Herb Talk, and I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson, and we're talking about when science is a corporate crime. Right before the break, I was going to tell you what the American College of Physicians say about this, and they say, physician interaction with the pharmaceutical industry has affected the credibility of the medical profession. The perception that a physician is dispensing medical advice on the basis of a commercial influence is likely to undermine a patient's trust, not only in the physician's competence, but also in the physician's pledge to put the patient's welfare above self-interest. They go on to say, if patients begin to view physicians as being tainted by industry influence, then the public's entire faith in the medical system could be eroded. Well, I think that's already started, to be honest. I think people are noticing a few things. And, you know, you can overcome a lot of these obstacles, right? Okay. There's really no reason we have to become victims to a corrupt healthcare system if we know how to overcome or prevent health problems. So there will always be a need for trauma care, but for internal medicine diseases, there are alternatives. Now, prevention, worth its weight in gold, as you know. And Hippocrates said, you know, father of medicine, he said, food is your medicine. He said that. He may not have known that eating organic foods can change your DNA within 6 days. However, he was right. So your medicinal herbs are also packed full of these complex, concentrated nutrients that help your body heal itself. So when we do our due diligence and we avoid unhealthy diets, substance abuse, and we help our body, you know, remove toxins, we can avoid most of these internal medicine diseases. So if you want to learn how, you can remove, you know, pharmaceutical residues and heavy metals and radioactive particles and all that stuff you shouldn't be hanging on to. You know, for more information, call the experts in organ cleansing. That would be Apothecary Herbs. Now, if you want to learn how you can boost your immune system and avoid many infectious pathogens or shorten your duration of illness, you can call them as well. They are experts in the cleanse and nourish and immune boosting area to help you function. And that goes a long way in keeping you away from the risks of modern healthcare. So take the power back. Give them a call. Their number is 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. Of course, international is 704-885-0277. And the website, thepowerherbs.com, because it puts the power back in your hands. And that's where your healthcare options just became endless. They have a free product catalog, and of course, if you do shop on their website, there is a rewards program. If you are a registered customer there on the website, you can get rewards that you can claim on the orders as savings. So, also, they have coupons up there under the coupon page if you want to check it out. If you are on the website, I encourage you to sign up for the newsletters. They are very popular, and they're free. They go out each week via email, so you have to have an email address to get them. And you just click on the Books and Newsletters tab to sign up for free and be empowered. That's what you do. All right, so I know there's this all this stuff on the internet about, you know, super plague within, what, 6 months or something like that? 4 months? I don't know, a lot of scary stuff out there. I'm not worried. People ask me, aren't you worried about getting cancer? Aren't you worried about this or that? And I go, no. And they go, why aren't you worried? I said, I got herbs. Herbs are here for the healing, the service of man, the healing of the nations. God said that, and he can't lie. So I'm standing on that promise, and I am learning. I'm still learning, even though, you know, I don't like to use the title master herbalist because I continue to learn. And I consider the only master herbalist to be God himself because he created all those perfect herbs and the perfect chemistry. And no sense in rewriting God's copyright. You know, the less you do to herbs, the better they are. That's right. Because I was talking to a lady the other day, Frank. She was to check out a product, and she was talking to the guy, and she goes, well, this other company, you know, they age their herbal liquids, their tinctures, and the guy says, oh, that's ridiculous. There's no benefit to that. Ask the wine industry if there's a benefit to aging. Hello. It allows time for the nutrients to penetrate the catalyst. And when you skip that process, you get weak, weak, weak formulas. Or if you ask the wine industry, you get crappy wine. All right. The symptoms of serious disease. We're going to talk about the plague. A lot of people say, you know, how do you know if you got the plague or if it's just a flu? Well, I've got a crossover symptoms a lot of times. So if you get serious disease, you know, it can even fool infectious disease experts as to what you have. And there are a lot of life-threatening diseases that mimic even the common flu bug. You get fever and chills, body aches, feeling kind of weak. That's kind of common. So the risk we face is, you know, if we delay in knowing what it is we have so we can act appropriately on it. So is the infection bacterial or is it viral? If it's bacterial, it will respond to supposedly antibiotic treatment, we're told. And we're, you know, you sacrifice precious time and you weaken the body further if you don't know what to do. Now, a lot of people say, I don't like to go to the doctor. I said, well, you can go to the doctor. It doesn't mean you have to take their advice, but you can get a diagnosis. Hopefully it's a good one. In the western areas of the United States, there can be some serious drought going on from time to time. People expect the usual drought, because cyclical weather cycles. But if your deep aquifers get affected by drought, and the land reverts from being fertile to a desert-like environment, this can actually cause rodents, animals, to come closer to human populations and kind of invade homes and streets and communities. Now, there's 200 species of rodents across the globe, and they carry plagues. Yep, the first recorded diagnosis of a plague in the United States was in San Francisco in 1900. Now, by 1902, the plague was starting to take hold. Authorities didn't want to panic the public because it would affect business. So the action led to quarantine. Now, let's just quarantine California. Can you imagine doing that today? Let's just quarantine California. And that might be a good idea, regardless of plague. What do you think, Frank? But air travel, that's a problem. Frank likes the idea. Yeah, let's call Trump. Hey, what's his number? Maybe we can, send something out on Twitter. Give him plant a seed. Air travel. This can transport plague all over the globe. Actually, Frank, do you remember which airport in America is the hub for infectious disease? Do you recall? Oh, he's thinking. No, it's not Atlanta. It's Hawaii. It is Hawaii because you get a lot of travel from the Asian continents, and they hit that Hawaii before they come to the mainland. So a lot of infectious diseases comes through that terminal big time. They've actually did studies on that. So so you get a lot of California air travel. You got a lot of people come from Asia, South Africa, South America. So they reveal a lot of environmental conditions tend to contribute to the spread of infectious diseases, including plagues. So we take a look at plague, we notice how it can progress. So if a region begins to see patches of bubonic plague, for instance, we should be on the alert for specific symptoms. You know, aside from the flu-like stuff, this is a bacterial infection. It likes to sink deep into tissues of the lymphatic system. That's your glands. It's going to the glands swell up, the nerve endings get inflamed, and you get a lot of pain. And you can even get little tremors happening, too, because the nerve endings start to vibrate. You get a high fever, can create a lot of sweating. Cells under the skin can rupture, creating some blotchy spots. You could look really bad, when you get that plague look on you. So the glands of the groin and the armpit areas produce a lot of painful swelling. You could get a lot of infected blood that pools there. And an infectious disease like bubonic plague, goes back thousands of years. So the Greek word for the groin is bubon, with the root word being buba or bubo, which means swelling. So groin swelling is where they were trying to describe it, and that's where you get bubonic plague. It's swelling of the groin area, the glands. So patients with bubonic plague actually can die what we call sepsis or blood poisoning because infectious blood kind of pools in an area. You don't get the circulation you need, and the blood isn't cleansed through the liver and kidneys. So the disease progresses pretty rapidly. It's contagious. And also, it is drug resistant. People aren't told that. Yeah, there's no antibiotics for this. But they're going to shoot you up with a bunch of them, regardless, if you have it. All right, so there's some ancient reports where before there were these antibiotics, people used a lot of medicinal herbs to protect themselves from serious plagues and diseases. And one thing to consider is the bacterial pathogens are not resistant to a strong human immune system supported by strong immune-boosting herbs or your medicinal herbs. So the herbs provide a lot of protein, minerals, and enzymes and antioxidants and vitamin nutrients that support the immune system and also help with bodily functions to fight the infection and get rid of it. So remember I said herbs are the very condensed, complex nutrients. That's what medicinal herbs contain. They're very complex, and they're very concentrated. And this is why they're bitter, and that's why you only take a little bit, because they're so potent. Now, antibiotics tend to suppress the immune system in an attempt to kill the poison or the bacteria. So if the bacteria is resistant, and antibiotics aren't going to destroy the disease, but they have canceled out your natural antibody responses in your immune system when you do that. So the patient is left defenseless, and it gives the disease, you know, carte blanche. Scientific medicine has known since 1998 that bubonic plague is totally resistant to all known antibiotics. I don't think the public knows that. Did you know that, Frank? I don't think the public's aware of that. Yeah. And we do get cases of bubonic plague, a few cases a year. Most of them are out west, where there's a lot of rodent populations, you know, the prairie rodents and stuff like that. All right, let's look at what the poor people did to fight plagues. You know, they had a poor man's antibiotic. So in the 1700s, the word plague kind of sent panic through towns and villages, and most people had what is known as a poor man's antibiotic, which was garlic. So often garlic is used, you know, to flavor your foods, but it has a lot of medicinal qualities. It's very complex. This is why scientific medicine hasn't been able to break it down and decipher how well it works at, you know, killing viruses, bacteria, fungi, and so forth. So over the last 100 years, scientific studies have discovered, in part, what garlic gives garlic a little power over disease. Researchers in 1944 found the compound in garlic that does fight bacteria, viruses, fungus, and it's called allicin. So garlic's unique compounds enable the body to fight a broad spectrum of diseases, and this allicin creates what is called an anticoagulation and lipid-lowering action to keep blood flowing so it doesn't pool or clot. So if you get plague, damn straight, you got to have some garlic. So remember garlic and this is where you won't get the sepsis from the plague pooling, the infected blood pooling. So you want to throw it through the liver, you want to throw it through the kidneys to purify the blood. You don't want it pooling and infecting the body. So blood is really the vehicle that brings in antibodies, takes away infectious debris. So you got to improve the circulation. In other words, you know, blood brings healing, and garlic helps with that function and also kills the infectious pathogen at the same time. Now, if it were me, I'd throw cayenne in with that garlic to super enhance circulation. So garlic is really has a lot of antioxidant action, and that does assist in fighting infectious microbes, and also helps with blood pressure. So due to its complexity, you know, science really isn't done discovering a lot of the action garlic offers the body in fighting infection. Now, fresh garlic has more power because it will contain more of the enzymes of amylase in there, and research has shown that this enzyme is the catalyst, and it destroys microbes in 10 seconds. So they've discovered that it is this enzyme that offers a defense mechanism against disease. So this enzyme also gives garlic its pungent aroma. Now, I'm asking myself, if science knows this, why aren't they throwing that on that, you know, skin-eating bacteria that they can't seem to help with? You know, like the people down in Texas and in Florida that have the, you know, the hurricane storms, and they went to clean up all the debris and rebuild the houses. A lot of people got the skin-eating disease, and they died, you know, because a lot of bacteria gets thrown on surfaces after storms like that. So I'm saying to myself, yeah, why aren't you using garlic? It cleans away microbes in 10 seconds. Man, if I ever thought I had a skin-eating disease, I'd be taking a bath in garlic. Yep, just fill the tub with garlic juice. I'm in there. Mm-hmm. So this enzyme also gives garlic that pungent aroma. And it also, if you deodorize the garlic, not recommended because that removes your benefits, your medicinal benefits. So don't do that. Now, according to PubMed.gov, they say garlic is has some antibacterial actions against gram-negative and gram-positive bacteria, including multi-drug-resistant strains of E. coli, candida, intestinal parasites, and viruses. Also, they say you want to avoid microwaving or cooking your garlic because heat destroys the garlic's enzymes, and then it's less effective. And you can kill all that benefit in less than 6 minutes if you heat it. I know, so there goes all that wonderful benefit from your spaghetti sauce, right? Because, you know, you probably simmer in that thing for, what, 20 minutes? Now, if you're adding garlic to cooked dishes, you might want to add it at the end and not cook it very long, okay? You know, just warm it up and take it off the heat. Now, cousin to the garlic is your onion, and I like white onion. It does contain the anise enzymes, and it's often paired with garlic for serious disease-fighting ability, okay? The enzymes in these two foods are activated. They have this wet and dry cell, and they're merged together, and they create this chemical reaction. They have sulfur, they have cysteine, sulfoxides, they have the antioxidants. I mean, it's just a cascade of reactions that help the body. It creates, well, in 10 seconds after you do that, it all these chemicals merge in 10 seconds. So, and when this happens, this is where you get the pungent aroma when you cut into those types of foods, whether it's garlic, onion, horseradish. They have the white dry cell, and they converge and explode, and you get that aroma. Now, scientific research is continuing to look at garlic for its organic sulfur compounds used to fight chronic diseases, maybe even cancer and heart disease. But, you know, they used to use sulfur powder in World War I, and they'd throw it onto wounds because it disinfected it, right? If you don't have sulfur powder, then it's cayenne powder. Cayenne powder can do the same thing because it's high in vitamin A and vitamin C and vitamin E, and helps the wounds heal quick and without bacteria in it. Now, medical science really isn't sure how our metabolism absorbs all these medicinal properties and benefits from garlic, and specifically the alanase. Perhaps it's, you know, the reason why, you know, several biological actions that happen when the human body is, you know, come in contact with garlic, they just haven't figured out how that's going. And it's one of those, you know, little mysteries, I guess, God built in there. And there seems to be more than one allicin compound in garlic, and they're not clear how all those other compounds influence your metabolism to target disease. Okay, there's the secret. That's a secret phase. The garlic helps your immune system target the disease. Check that out. You talk about a poor man's antibiotic. Who needs an antibiotic when you got that? And it's so broad spectrum, it doesn't matter. It's not resistant to bacteria. Now, through animal studies, scientists link the medicinal properties of garlic. They tend to enter through the intestine, travel to your bloodstream. So when they test humans that consume a lot of garlic, they found that these properties of garlic are present in the blood, urine, even stool, very rapidly. Doesn't take hours. They can even predict how much of the garlic compounds are in the body fluids by testing a patient by they exhale air, and, you know, you have the garlic breath. So they test their exhaled air, and that tells them how much garlic's in the system already. So science, they suspect that garlic sulfides somehow are strengthening the increase in your blood plasma while decreasing cholesterol and other pathogens. So the body uses the garlic. It empowers it to help the immune system work faster and function more efficiently. Now, Linus Pauling Institute says garlic offers an anti-inflammatory function and reducing the enzymes and encourages anti-inflammatory action and also helps create more white blood cells, which is your immune system, macrophages. So that's really important for plague because, remember, one of the symptoms of plague is it inflames your glands. And so this way, if it reduces the inflammation, then your circulation can get through. All right. So if you're going to use garlic, well, you know me. I'm the tincture gal. I like the liquids. They work in 60 seconds. There's no digesting. I don't like to mess around. You know, I like to kick those pathogens to the curb. And I like to be aggressive. I'm an aggressive person with my herbs. And, you know, why suffer for a long length of time? According to some clinical trials, garlic extracts that are aged are better than forced extraction extracts. And I've been saying that for years. The garlic compounds through heat and evaporation can, you know, not be as beneficial. So you want to be careful. Make sure your liquids were not created with heat or forced extraction. And you can make your own garlic juice. I wrote about it in the Power Herbs book. If you want to learn how to do that, how to make your own tinctures, empower yourself. Pick up a copy of the Power Herbs book. It's on the website, thepowerherbs.com. And it's $14.99. And you will learn how to do that. And so if you're going to make your own garlic juice, you're going to need a lot of garlic. Because one bulb of garlic, not a clove, but a bulb, is only going to give you a quarter ounce of juice. So you need lots of garlic to make lots of juice. Now, the folks at Apothecary Herbs do have the garlic juice. And they sell it by the bottles. Because we get a lot of garlic going in here. I mean, when we do the garlic day, I mean, the air is so purified. It smells like garlic, but there's no bugaroos in the office, not in the whole building. And so garlic juice just will cleanse your air. So don't be shy to work with your garlic if you want to make your own garlic juice. So if you're going to be using garlic, and now if you're using blood thinners, be aware, medicinal doses of garlic is also a blood thinner, so you don't want to double up on that. So you want to be careful. So if you're taking blood thinner medications, you want to be careful if you're going to use medicinal garlic doses. Now, some people can be prone to allergic reactions using medicinal amounts of garlic. People can have asthmatic responses, digestive upset, even diarrhea. So garlic seems to be safe, though, for most people, including nursing mothers. And garlic will also add a lot of flavor to the breast milk. Infants don't care. They turn to nurse longer if there's a garlic taste in the breast milk, by the way. So nursing mothers, also, if you have thrush, eat some garlic. Yep, garlic juice, eat some garlic. Get some garlic oil going. Whatever it is, it'll get rid of the thrush on you and inside the baby's mouth, no problemo. Now, you want to check always for drug interactions if you're going to be using any kind of garlic supplements or any kind of medicinal, herbal medicinals. You want to check, make sure there's no interactions and counter-regs on your drugs mixed with your herbs. You always want to check that. If you're using immune suppressant drugs like antibiotics or immune support or anti-immune support, you know, like got lupus, let's say, and they shut off your immune system with drugs, you want to not use the herbs that stimulate immune system response because they works against that. So it's a waste of time and energy using any kind of immune-boosting herbs if you're on immune suppressant therapy. So be aware of that. Of course, if you want to learn how to get over the flu in just 2 days, you need to call the folks at Apothecary Herbs. Hope you don't get the flu, and there's some things you can do to prevent that, kind of elevate the immune system and reduce your chances. But if you do get it, there's a way to get rid of it in 2 days. The folks at Apothecary Herbs can tell you how that's done and show you how to do it. If you want to give them a call and get a free product catalog, that number is 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com, where your healthcare options just became endless. That's right, take the power back. Sign up for the newsletters, get empowered each week. The information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease, so seek medical advice if you dare from a licensed medical physician before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Till next time, be well.